Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts here on News Talk 1400 DWS on a wet day here on this Thursday, March the 29th. Glad you're with us. Let me give you the phone numbers, 356-9397, text line 351-5357. That's Castle Heating and Cooling. And you can email us, talk at WDWS.com. Well, hey, it's opening day for Major League Baseball. It doesn't really feel like it out there. It's wet and it's kind of cold at 47 degrees. But it is opening day, and Darren Fletcher, former Illini, former Major League Baseball player, is going to join us here for this hour. We'll just talk baseball for this hour since it is opening day. The first time they have scheduled to have all the Major League teams play on the same day since 1968. Hasn't happened in 50 years. They've also, with their earliest start ever, as they're trying to add some off days and expand that a little bit with the new agreement. But we are going to talk about that for the next full hour, and two of the games have already been postponed until tomorrow. So they tried to get everybody on the same day, but a couple of games in Detroit and Cincinnati, I believe, were postponed because of weather. So they'll start tomorrow. But we'll talk with Darren Fletcher, a little baseball talk here for the next hour. In the next hour, at 10 o'clock, the Prairie Dragon Paddlers, it's a group of breast cancer survivors. They have a big event, Sing for the Health of It, coming up in early April. They have some other events, too. We'll tell you what that is, what that's about, how you can help. Maybe you're interested in learning about that particular group and following with them. We'll talk to them in the second hour, and then after that, an open line. Lots of big news today with the VA. The president fires the VA director there in Washington, so a change there. Hires his personal physician, who's been in the White House for many years. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And big ratings for the reboot of Roseanne. That went very well for Roseanne, especially in the second episode. The ratings way up. So we'll get into that a little bit today as well. But Darren Fletcher joins us in the first hour. We'll get it all started with our baseball talk here on Major League Baseball opening day. All you Cub fans, Cardinal fans, there's a lot of those. I know both groups. And some White Sox fans mixed in as well. Feel free to give us a call anytime during this hour or any other baseball question you might have. 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com. Brian Barnhart in the penny chair today. We're back with Darren Fletcher after this.
On one, on two, on three, take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Harry Carey, take me out to the ballgame. Harry did that night after night, did it in Chicago with the White Sox. Bill Veeck had him start doing that, and then he carried it over to the Cubs and, of course, became very well known and tied to that. Passed away now roughly 20 years ago, Harry Carey did. And we're talking baseball here this first hour, so all you baseball fans out there, give us a call, 356-9397. You can text us, the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or email us, talk at WDWS.com. Pleased to be joined by Darren Fletcher in studio, former Illini.
Hey,
how are
good
you?
Good to be here. Good to be here, Brian.
Good. You were just in, Montreal, right?
I was. Over the weekend, I went to Montreal for a fundraiser on Sunday night and then was able to watch the Cardinal-Blue Jay game at the old Olympic Stadium. a Monday night. Then I left Tuesday, didn't see the second ball game, but it was good. You know, that they're continuing to try to beat the drum up there in Montreal to either get a team to move or and Major League Baseball to expand up there. And they had a nice crowd. It was a Monday night, but they had 30,000 there watching a spring training game, so it was good.
Yeah, that's good. They played a couple of nights, I guess, and the second ball game, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the son of Vlad, who, of course, starred in Montreal, hit a home run to win the game, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I wasn't there, but people were texting me about it. And, you know, Vlad, obviously, his dad's going to the Hall of Fame this year, so that's big news. And then the son is a 19-year-old young top prospect for the Blue Jays, and, of course, hit a walk-off home run against the Cardinals. So it was a lot of excitement, I guess, and good for Montreal. I'm pulling hard for them to get an expansion because I simply just want another place I can get free tickets.
And you had a chance to talk to Mike Matheny?
Yeah, I talked to Mike for a little bit. You know, Mike Matheny and I played together in 99 in Toronto. He was a Brewer, and the Brewers either let him go or traded him to Toronto, and Mike and I shared duties in 99 in Toronto. And you know, obviously, everyone thinks they've got a chance coming out of spring training, and he's excited about it. Also, the new pitching coach there, I played with Mike Maddox. Mm-hmm. I played with Mike in the minor leagues and also a little bit, I think, with the Expos. And he's going to be a nice addition to the St. Louis Cardinals. He's an excellent pitching coach. And, you know, as well as I do, handling the pitching staff at the big league level might be the toughest job there is for coaching staff.
Seems to me that a lot of managers were catchers at one point.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of in control of the game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, control of the game. And, you know, you got to obviously, you know, like I said, handle the pitching staff and know the game. But Mike's an excellent manager. I know that they haven't been in the playoffs for the last couple of years, but he's an excellent manager. And what I saw, the Cardinals look pretty good. I mean, they got some players that look like they could break out.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were wondering what they were going to do in the off season. You know, they had different pitchers getting older. Wainwright's going to start on the disabled list.
Right.
You know, have they done enough, I guess, a lot of people's minds to win the division now with the Cubs and the Brewers being better? But
yeah,
we'll see.
We'll see. I'd put trust in Mike to try to figure it out, and you know, I think with Mike Maddox as an addition, I think that they'll find a way to get people out.
Mm-hmm. So who else did you play with over the years? Some names that people would recognize on a regular basis.
Me, personally?
Yeah,
as
personally,
far as,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that are managing now?
Or just names from the Expos, the Blue Jays, teammates?
Yeah, well, you got, well, Vladimir's going in the Hall of Fame. Pedro Martinez went in the Hall of Fame not long ago. I mean, you know, I played with a lot of guys, you know. Met a lot of people. You played Harry Carey as you were going in. I mean, that's one of the neat things about playing in the big leagues is you get to meet and rub elbows with these people that you grew up with when you idolize the game. And you know, hearing stories about just being in the visiting clubhouse at Wrigley Field and hearing some of the media or Steve Stone coming in and sharing stories about Harry Carey that maybe a lot of people don't know about is a neat kind of thing to be in that little inner circle of Major League Baseball. But there's a lot of great players out there, and you know, baseball is a great game, and it's a small fraternity. So I hope that you know, I don't really pull for anyone in particular, you know, but it's a good game.
We're with Darren Fletcher this morning. Any questions for Darren? Of course, former Illini. He's going to be entering the University of Illinois Hall of Fame. We had him on several weeks ago when he was named to that second class of Hall of Fame inductees, class number two. And we appreciate him stopping by then and appreciate him being with us here the whole hour today. You're right about meeting the people in the game, because one guy I met when I was with the Angels was Joe Maddon.
Yeah.
Who was the bench coach for Terry Collins at the time, and Terry got fired, and Joe took over. But Joe was just fantastic to work with. I mean, he's so personable.
Mm-hmm.
He knew so much more about life in general. He wasn't just focused on baseball. He was, you know, he read books. He knew about Shakespeare. He knew about this and that. And so it's really cool to see him doing so well.
Yeah, I don't know Joe. I think, but that's his deal. He's kind of one of the, you know, he's a kind of a new wave manager, and I think that's the way that you have to do it now, that old school of coaching by you know, yelling and screaming is all over with. Maddon, I think they love him in Chicago, but you know, you run into a whole host of characters, and you know, it I think the Cubs, you know, do they got a chance this year? I mean, they always think they got a chance. Mm-hmm. I mean, they won the World Series in 16, so I think they're going to do well.
Cubs, by the way, today open the season in Florida against the Marlins. White Sox open the season in Kansas City. The Cardinals play the Mets here in a couple of hours in New York City. You were involved in opening day. Is it as exciting for players as it is for fans?
Yeah, I was involved in a lot of, you know, at the big league level early in the season, it seems like you're playing a lot of, you've got opening day, and then you've got opening day home games for a lot of different places too. So you could play an opening game like on today, and then for the next week, you could be the opening day at somebody's home ballpark when you're a visitor, you know, for at least usually about the first week. So, but opening days, it's exciting. You're anticipating hopefully a good year for the team, for yourself. You know, there's in baseball, the rosters change so much. Every year is different. I opened up 1 year in Cincinnati, where it was the opening day. You know, typically in baseball, Cincinnati was the opening day always on that Monday, and they played a day game. That's the one that I do remember the most. The most memorable opening day for me was when John the umpire died.
Mm-hmm. McSherry,
yeah. Mm-hmm. John McSherry died on opening day, I think, in 1996. I mean, it was crazy, but that was opening day in Cincinnati. But, you know, there's a lot of good memories. A lot of these guys are just hoping to, you know, put together good years, and it's such a long season, too. Baseball is such a grind and such a marathon, really.
Yeah, I found that out even in the broadcast booth, day after day. And you guys are, you know, you're taking batting practice every day. I mean, you're shagging fly balls every day. You know, whatever you're doing out there, it's a grind for 162 games.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a grind. You know, you got to be in top shape, and these guys are, you know, to be honest with you, I'm 50 whatever years old, and my kids and my wife even go, I can't believe that you even stayed close to being healthy for that long. You know, it's just a long deal.
Especially as a catcher.
As a catcher, too. I really avoided major injury, you know, as I played for 12 years in the big leagues. So baseball players are a unique breed.
Mm-hmm. For people that don't remember, I know most people around here do, but you played for how many different teams? Mostly with Montreal and Toronto.
Yeah,
right?
Mostly in Canada, but I signed with the Dodgers from campus here at the U of I, and then I was traded to the Phillies. So Dodgers, Phillies, Expos, Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the memorable opening day when you first made a roster, your first opening day as a big leaguer. Where were you, and what do you remember from that?
Yeah, let's see here. That's a good one. The first, I had some time in 89 and 90 and 91, but my first opening day as a big leaguer was 1992 in Pittsburgh. Hmm. Yeah, that's right. It was in Pittsburgh as an expo. I think I had a pretty good game, too, if I can remember right. I think I had a few hits. So it quickly went downhill from there that particular year. I didn't hit all that well in the middle of the season, but yeah, it was good. That was Gary Carter. You know, another, you ask about guys I played with. There's a Hall of Famer that Gary Carter and I were the catchers on that team in 92.
Mm-hmm. Catching the hardest position easily or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's physically very tough, but it's also mentally tough because managers, when things go wrong out there, especially between the pitcher and catcher, they don't go to the pitcher. They go to the catcher. So if the pitcher throws a bad pitch and the guy hits a home run, they don't bother the pitcher. They come to me and they go, what were you thinking there? What's he doing? You know, I'm answering for him. I'm answering for the team. You know, so I guess getting back to your question on why catchers make good managers is because you have to have a close relationship with your manager and you have to explain everything to him. You've got to have a reason for every move that you make and you have to understand each and every situation.
What was your favorite ballpark? You played in both the American and National League.
Well, I like the old ones, Brian. Yeah. You know, I liked old Tiger Stadium and, of course, Wrigley Field, Yankee Stadium, you know, Fenway. But old Tiger Stadium for me was a really cool field.
I did some games from there.
Yeah.
It's really tight.
It's tight. You know, you walk from the clubhouse is tiny. It's probably not any bigger than the studio, and you're squeezing in 25 guys. And then the tunnel that leads out to the ballpark, the men back then must have been under 5'3" because it's really short and the dugouts are tight. But when you walk out with those you know, the pillars out there, the tight enclosed look, the wood, the smell of the dirt. It just felt like, you know, that Ty Cobb was going to come out at any time and take batting practice with you.
Yeah, that was a great old field. It's not there anymore. I think they tore it down.
Yeah, they may have. They're using it
for something else.
But, I like those old ballparks.
It was a great old park. And I know in that low ceiling tunnel, they had a urinal back in there.
Did they?
That the players would, you know, the old-time players would use. I mean, it was old school.
It was old school.
All the way back to the very beginning of time almost in baseball. So that was great. We're with Darren Fletcher here from Benny. He says, good morning. Do you think my Dodgers can make it back to the World Series? I forget how many division titles they've won in a row now. And will the Reds be a 500 club, and can my Tigers go to the playoffs? So he's got a variety of questions there, but I don't know.
Was he
Dodgers,
he,
Reds, Tiger? He's got all kinds
guy,
of teams. Yeah.
One guy, he's got three favorite teams. Before he he's got to fire up 15, and he's got to bet to win on five or six different.
The Dodgers have been pretty remarkable, though.
Yeah, good pitching. Played against the manager there. Now he wasn't a catcher, but Dave Roberts was always a well-respected guy when he was playing. Manager for the Dodgers. Yeah, they good pitching. It seemed like they were able to hit some.
Tigers and Reds, I think, are kind of rebuilding, aren't they,
right,
a little bit?
Right, so it's all about pitching. You know, you've got to be able to pitch. Of course, the last year's World Series winner, Houston, seemed like they were able to hit the ball out of the ballpark. But I find that going into the playoffs and to win a World Series, you've got to have good starting pitching and a good bullpen.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're with Darren Fletcher, 923. If you have some questions for Darren, his playing days in the major leagues, all those years in Montreal and Toronto mostly, of course, from the University of Illinois. We'll come back with more after this on Penny.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2.
So some of the highlights, Jack Buck on one of the great calls in the postseason for the Cardinals, the Ozzie Smith home run off the pole and right to beat the Dodgers. And then, of course, from Fox Sports, the Cardinals winning the 2011 World Series. We've got Darren Fletcher with us. You play any postseason games?
I did not.
Did not.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
I had one of the, when I was finishing up my career, I think I had the longest streak of games played in the big leagues without appearing in a postseason.
Did you get close?
Well, I mean, yeah, we had a lot of fairly close teams. I mean, 94 with the Expos, we had the best team in baseball record wise before the strike hit. But, I mean, with the new rules now and the wild card or the double wild card, we would have made it several occasions. But, yeah, didn't appear.
Yeah, you'll need your headphones here as Richard comes on the line with us. Hey, Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Brian, and good morning, Darren, and congratulations on a marvelous career you had both for Illinois and in the pros. You said something a few minutes ago about, your responsibility in catching, and I want you to explain in as much detail as you feel comfortable giving. When I watch baseball, I see the pitcher look in, and then he shakes his head, and he shakes his head again, and the catcher finally gives him the signal that he nods yes to. Who is actually controlling the game, so to speak? I mean, is the manager signaling to you, every time, or how does that work?
Are you talking about the specific pitch call? Or are you talking about okay?
Yes. Every pitch is that just
That's the game between the pitcher and catcher. Yeah, the manager and the pitching coach of the team really shouldn't have a whole lot to do with that. Occasionally, they'll call a pitch from the dugout, but most of the time, it's between the pitcher and the catcher. So, It's funny you ask, because I was in Montreal and I was at a fundraiser right next to Bill the Spaceman Lee. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's so a little out there.
Yeah, so we were talking about it. And, you know, as a catcher, I always said, and he agreed with it because, you know, he was a pitcher. But as a catcher, I felt like I offered suggestions to the pitcher. And I felt that they were good suggestions, but they were just suggestions on the pitch selection. And then it was up to him to agree or to disagree. And Bill Lee liked that, the way I said that. Now there are some guys out there, when I played and even today, I'm sure, that are veteran catchers that basically kind of bully their way into telling the young pitcher or pitcher that this is the way the game is supposed to be played and don't shake off a whole lot. I didn't particularly like that because I even told rookie pitchers that, I want you to shake. Don't throw everything I put down, because I'll have no idea how you really want to work. Mm-hmm. When you shake, it gives me an idea of what pitches you do like in certain situations, and it won't take me long to figure you out. So, yeah, but that particular game, that particular part of baseball is played between simply the pitcher of the game and the catcher.
Okay, Richard?
Well, I did have another question.
Okay.
When you position yourself, you'll move inside or outside of the batter for location. Is that how much control does a pitcher usually have? Does he hit your mitt pretty regularly like that?
Yeah, he should. And if he doesn't, he's not going to be out there very long. So you have to pitch. You know, you have to pitch on the corners. I would never call a pitch that I would feel like I would set down the middle of the plate. So we're always working the corners of the plate. And that's what the guy is trying to throw to. So maybe on a breaking pitch, you may set up a little bit more down the middle. But it's always on the corners.
All right. Hey, Richard, thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know if anybody did that better than Greg Maddux. Wasn't he at painting corners?
No, he was.
I mean, he never threw a strike. He just threw everything close.
Everything close, yep, yep.
Let's go to Eric. You're on with Darren Fletcher. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys. Darren, I had a question. My wife is from Canada, so I'm pretty familiar with it from myself. But how was it actually living in Canada, actually back in the 90s before the internet and everything? Did you have to, like, learn French living in Montreal, or at least try to be able to?
Bien sûr, mon ami. Je parle pas français.
You learned it fairly well.
Yeah. I pick up a little bit here and there. Obviously, with your wife from Canada, you know that Quebec and Montreal is the culture is French. I mean, there's obviously a lot of English speaking people, and even the French Canadians, most all of them have English as a second language that they can flip in and out of the language very quickly. That's what I've always been fascinated about, people that are able to, you know, speak two languages completely fluently and be able to carry on a conversation here in French and then go over here and flip right into English perfectly. Mm-hmm. So that's in a unique city like that, Montreal. Obviously, Toronto is an international city, but it's English first. So, you know, I enjoyed Canada. I always like going up there and hanging out. But it's a little different. Some people, when they go to Montreal, it is, you know, all the street signs are in French, all the restaurant menus are in French. So it takes a little, I guess, if you're accustomed to, you know, a certain lifestyle. But I kind of like that culture, so I thought it's cool.
Now, just curious, more or less, the life of a ball player. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows, you know, the game, we play the games when we were kids and whatnot. It's all the other off time and all that. Is it just all baseball 24/7, or you guys have plenty of time to just explore and do things outside of baseball itself?
Yeah, I guess you do.
Yeah,
I mean,
the load so much.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is a lot like second shift. You know, you're and Brian, you know, calling games. You're basically on from 2 to 11 o'clock during the day. Mm-hmm. So you do have, if you want to get up in the morning, you got plenty of time in the morning and the mid afternoon to go explore. And if you've got young children, you got to keep them busy too. So, and you've got your off days, but you know, when I was younger, I think I did a little bit more exploring. As I've gotten older, I kind of, you know, knew all the cities and knew Canada. I didn't get out as much, but yeah, it's a neat spot.
Hey, Eric, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Great to hear from you. Carol Varell has news for us. We're talking baseball today on this opening day for 2018. We'll come back with more after the news on DWS.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Fowler deep in center, Hayward not quite as deep in right. A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove and throw to Rizzo. It's in time! And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series! The Cubs come pouring out of the dugout, jumping up and down like a bunch of delirious 10-year-olds. The Cubs have done it!
Great Pat Hughes with the Chicago Cubs and their World Series win now a couple of years ago. And appreciate that from the Cubs Radio Network. 356-9397 is how you can join us. We're visiting here on opening day for Major League Baseball in 2018 with former Major Leaguer Darren Fletcher, Oakwood Zone, of course, from the University of Illinois, going into the Illinois Hall of Fame here at the U of I here this summer. They got a big event up in Chicago they'll be doing later on this summer. 356-9397 is the number to call. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. Email us, talk at WDWS.com. 939, 46 degrees. A lot of talk about trying to speed up the game a little bit and the mound visits.
Right.
And first of all, is that a good idea?
Yeah, I think Major League Baseball should address the lengths of the games. I'm not sure where it's at, whether they can save time, you know, with that going out to the mound, or whether they can save time in they tried to save time with the batter stepping out of the batter's box, getting them in there once they got their foot, you know, their toe hold, they had to stay in. So they've tried a lot of different things, Brian, and it seems like the games just really haven't slowed down much. I believe in the minor leagues, are they trying the pitch clock? Is that correct? Or
I think it's in the minor leagues they're looking at. And I think in extra innings they've been talking about putting a runner at second base.
Right, the international rules of extra innings of baseball. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are things that you look at. I don't know. I mean, I think that's all made for TV type stuff because, you know, we baseball on TV, I think people can flip it off. You know, it seems like it's long, but when you're there, I think when you're a fan at the ballpark, you don't mind if it's a 3.5-hour game.
We got some callers here real quick. Movies about baseball, it's always interesting. You know, when the catcher goes to the mound, there's all these Bull Durham, you know, all this talk about what is actually said.
Right.
I mean, what is said typically?
Well, sometimes things are said. A lot of times I would go out there to, you know, you are killing time. I'm stalling because he has nothing left and the manager wants me to go out there and wait for the guy in the bullpen to get ready. So, and usually the pitcher knows it too. So we're just talking about anything, you know, it'd be from where we're going to go out to eat tonight or, you know, something that funny happened in the clubhouse. So, you know, surprisingly, it's a lot like the movies where a lot of the talk isn't about baseball.
Yeah, but in the serious situations, it is. You know, if you've got a pinch hitter coming up in a key spot,
right,
maybe you haven't scouted him thoroughly or you want to remind the pitcher that, hey, this guy hits
right
inside fastball as well,
right,
or something like
well,
that.
Well, I remember one time we were in Boston and Pat Hankin was pitching, and Pat won the Cy Young in 97, I believe. The 96 for the Blue Jays, and I was catching Pat in Boston. Tight ball game. He's pitching a great game. He ended up loading the bases. It's two outs, bottom of the eighth. And, couple foul balls, Pat calls me out to the mound, and he just puts his glove over his mouth, and he goes, man, Fletch, I'm having so much fun. Isn't this awesome? Look around. Just soak it up for a second. I was like, all right, Pat, yeah, this is cool. Let's get somebody out here. And going back, that's all he wanted to do was just basically just savor the moment for a minute, and then go back.
And that would count as a mound visit.
That's right, a mound visit now. Yeah. There's a lot of that going on.
Stan, hey, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Darren, as always, you're way too modest. I don't even heard you mention you made the All-Star team 1 year. And what a great athlete you were in high school. I believe you're a quarterback on the football team, all-around athlete. And I know I haven't heard you mention your base stealing record in the major leagues.
My base stealing record or my...
Don't you still hold a base stealing record?
Yeah, I uh, I was the longest in the 90s there after Cecil Fielder had stole a base like in 97. He had had the longest streak in Major League Baseball games played without a stolen base. And then once he stole that base, then it was me. I was the most active games played without a stolen base. And I stole a base later that year in Montreal. Someone reminded me of that when I was just up there this last weekend. And believe it or not, when I stole the base, they gave me a standing ovation. Because the fans knew that, Fletcher can't run, and I stole it, and I stood there. And I remember it was against Houston, and Craig Biggio, Hall of Famer now. Craig Biggio was playing second for Houston, and he came over as everyone's clapping for him, and he goes, "Fletch, rip that bag out and hold it above your head like Ricky Henderson did. I dare you." I'm like, no, I can't do that.
When you done it, and I thought, well, he's got the record, and he can keep going and going. What were you thinking when you stole the base? You could have kept that record going.
Yeah, that's the one I wanted to. I wanted to get it because they were all hooting and hollering at me once it was shown that I was, the guy with the least amount of stolen or no stolen bases. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get it done. I wanted to show them that I had wheels. I'm showing I could get down there.
Hey, you weren't as slow as they said you were.
Right.
I just wanted to say one thing before I hang up, and that was you were a great baseball player, but you were even a better person.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you, Stan. Great to hear from you. What year were you an All-Star? Was that
1994. Yeah, and there was six Expos that were All-Stars in 94, and we had the best record in baseball going into the break. So for me, that was a highlight of my time with Montreal, because the talk of Major League Baseball at that time was, wow, look at these young kids that are doing so well in Montreal, and they're having a good season. It was kind of the height of the organization at that time, and then it kind of went downhill after that.
But 1999, you hit .291, 18 home runs, 80 RBIs. So that was a pretty good year.
Yeah, good year for a catcher. Yeah.
Was that Toronto?
Toronto,
yeah.
Hit .320 in 2000 the next year. Mm-hmm. So,
good numbers.
Yeah, I had some good numbers. I mean, I could always hit. They always thought that I couldn't. I was a good receiver, but I had my shoulder was gone. As I aged, my rotator cuff was gone, and they wanted me to have surgery on it and get it fixed. And I just told them, I just don't want to. I don't want to take the time off. I think if I do my exercises, I can get by and throw out people when I have to. But my arm deteriorated as I gotten older. But I was able to survive.
All right, back to the phones here. Carl joins us on Penny. You're on with Darren Fletcher. Carl, go ahead.
Yeah, Darren, one time I heard Todd Hundley say that when he was playing, he would go to tell the home plate umpire what the pitcher's pitches do, so the umpire would be kind of familiar with what to look for. I never heard a catcher say that. Did you do that as well? Or?
Yeah, if he was a young umpire, I would. I would say, hey, I know that you're, kind of new to the league. This guy's got a really good forkball, or this guy's got a really good breaking ball. Matter of fact, there would be times when it was a tight situation, and I wanted to make sure that the umpire was locked in and ready for this particular pitch. If it was like a 3-2 count in a tight situation and the batter fouled one off and stepped out of the box, I actually told the umpire which pitch I was going to call, just so he would lock in on, hey, this is going to be that big breaking ball in an odd situation, like it's 3-2 or and he may be expecting a fastball, but it's going to be the breaking ball here, so he can really track it well. So I'd actually tip the umpire off with what pitch I'm going to throw.
Mm-hmm. All right, Carl.
Yeah, I was something I wanted to mention. I've read where, when Joe Torre was a young catcher, Warren Spahn, the great left-hander, kind of adopted him and asked the manager for him to catch, and Warren Spahn would be the one to calm Torre down so he'd learn how to catch.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that story, but. I mean, that'd be a good one to calm you down, Warren Spahn.
Hey, thanks, Carl.
Okay,
appreciate the phone call. Lines are open at the moment, 356-9397. Opening day, 2018. Thought we'd just spend an hour talking baseball with a former major leaguer who's experienced all of that. I would guess the Darren, the umpire, catcher. I mean, you guys are in the foxhole together there.
Yeah, you got
to develop a pretty good relationship with those guys.
You have to. Yeah. And you should. If it's kind of an adversary and it's a lot of conflict between the catcher and the umpire, things aren't going to go very well. So I always tried to get to know them, call them. You know, I knew everybody. I mean, you do. They're right next to you. Knew everyone by their first name, knew where they were from. I mean, I could tell if they were married or not, if they had kids. I mean, you know, you do develop a good relationship with the umpire, And I also expected when I was up at the plate that a tight pitch in a tight situation better go my way, too.
All right, back to the phones for Darren Fletcher. Chris joins us this morning. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. Hey, Darren, did you ever get your own golf clubs bought?
My own golf clubs bought because of why? Because I always would get free golf clubs?
You borrowed some from my father-in-law in Tilton back 20 years ago, and we always got a chuckle out of that. You'd come and borrow Tom Moulton's golf clubs.
Did I ever give them back or no? I gave them back, didn't I?
I'm sure you did.
Oh, I borrowed some? I think what it was, it may have been because I used to, I was a left-handed hitter, but I always played golf right-handed, and my dad, had right-handed clubs in the house, and even though I was naturally a left-handed hitter of a baseball and probably golf, he encouraged me to play right-handed because he thought I'd screw up my baseball swing. So when I retired, I was still playing golf right-handed, and I switched to left. So that's probably what it was. Someone had some left-handed clubs, and I wanted to try it.
Gotcha. Well, the last caller was right. You are too humble. I took Parker and Joe up to Chicago when you guys were traveling at Wrigley Field. You had the families with you for that two-week period. And I watched you guys. I watched your families. And you guys were tired. I mean, that's a grueling trip. And to go out and play every day and give it your all, give it your best, that takes a lot out of anybody. And you guys do it as champions. And I really admire that for you guys. You guys put a lot out there. And I really saw that and watched that.
Well, thank you. It can be tough. A lot of guys, you've got to combine – a lot of family members, a lot of people want a piece of you as you're on the road and at home, and you've got to be able to be accessible, but yet also focused on what your job is. And and some guys go the other way where they don't want anyone to have any access to them. And I just knew from being a small town in an area that I know a lot of people. There's a lot of people that love baseball, so I tried to make myself as accessible as possible when I played. And there were times where I was tired, but did my deal, in Chicago and all that. St. Louis had always a lot of people come in. But for them, I wanted to let them kind of share in the fun too.
Sure, sure. Well, it was fun that weekend. I know you and your wife were there, and I had fun visiting with her, and that was all fun. And then this guy kept wanting to talk, and I didn't know who I was talking to. And he said, "Well, my name is Moises Alou." I'm like, "Oh, okay. I didn't know who that was."
Yeah,
I'm a farmer from Rankin. But anyway, but I had Parker with me, so I was okay.
Yeah, you're all right.
Your buddy Parker.
Yeah.
Thank you. I watched you, and I want to thank you. You've been an excellent role model, and I really enjoyed that day up there with you guys. It's been a long time ago now, but I'll never forget it.
All right, you made
it special. I want to thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Back with more with Darren Fletcher, 9:51 on Penny.
Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws, out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
Joe Buck on the call from all those years ago with the White Sox as they continue to rebuild. I got to know Joe a little bit. He was in the minor leagues in Louisville.
Okay.
When I was in the minor leagues in Oklahoma City, and I was doing the games by myself, he had a gentleman he worked with named Jim Kelch, who's now with the Reds, does radio for the Reds. But Joe was like the number two guy. He was probably 20 years old, 20,
really?
21. I'd have him come down and sit in with me
and
do games with me.
Yeah,
and I thought at the time, man, he's terrific. I mean,
did you like him from the beginning?
Oh, yeah, right from the beginning. And I knew, with his name Buck, that he would have a leg up on someone named Barnhart to get to the major leagues. But I thought, man, he's excellent.
Yeah, I like him on football. Yeah. I like him and
Troy Aikman.
On football. But his dad was the best.
Oh.
I mean, I remember as a kid listening to the radio. I loved listening to Mike Shannon, and Buck on that. So it was cool.
Back to the phones for Darren Fletcher here at 956. Hi, Fred. Good morning.
Good morning. Darren, I just got back from Florida. I think you know who I am. I was talking to
Fred?
Some people from Toronto.
Yeah.
And they said that the color guy is retiring up there. Is there any chance you're going back up?
You know what? The radio guy, Fred, is retiring. Jerry Howarth, the longtime play-by-play radio broadcaster, is retiring. I think he did 35, 38 years.
A long
he's
time.
Done. Yeah, no, they. I didn't throw my name in the ring, and they've got. I'm so far removed, Fred, from it. I'd go up there and do maybe a guest spot here and there, and I think I'm gonna go to Toronto this summer a couple times. But
sure.
Yeah,
and you did some TV for Toronto, right?
I did, and from 2004 to about 2010, I did a very part-time basis, Brian, where the head guy wanted a little time off and just wanted to do about 100 games, and they had 30 or 40 games they wanted to split, you know, as kind of guest guys coming in. So I did a few during that period.
Oh, that's great. I tell you what, you're very well appreciated. Take my word for it.
Hey, well, thank you, Fred. Hope you enjoyed Florida. Are you
did.
Still down there? Are you coming? Are
no,
you up here?
We got back Sunday, so we're home now. So
no.
How's mom? Well, we'll talk to you some other time. Take care.
All right, buddy.
All right, thank you. And you caught a no hitter in your career, Tommy Green, right?
Tommy Green in Montreal when I was playing for the Phillies. Yeah, it was a Sunday day game, and he had like 7 or 8 walks and 10 strikeouts. You wouldn't even know. And it was a tight ball game. So it was one of those ones that they talk about where you actually look up in the seventh inning and go, this is a tight ball game. And also, he's got a no hitter going, because it didn't feel like it, Brian.
But in that game, it didn't. But generally, can catchers tell early on if, hey, this guy's got no hit stuff?
Yeah,
tonight?
I caught quite a few of those guys too that looked like, you know, after the first 3 or 4 innings, it could go deep into the game without anybody getting it hit. So, you know, I caught a perfect game through 9 innings with Pedro Martinez. You know, of course, the other guy, it was 0-0, though, going into the bottom of the ninth. But, yeah, the no-hitter, the Tommy Green. Everyone thinks it's Roger Clemens. You know, Roger Clemens, I don't think, check me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Roger Clemens in his whole career, I don't think he threw a no-hitter.
I know he had the 20 strikeouts game or whatever, so. But. Yeah, and still, I know you can appreciate having played at that high level, Nolan Ryan with his 7 no-hitters.
Right.
To be able to do that. I mean, that's just hard
and
to even fathom.
And his age, too, he was able to keep pitching into close to a 40. So,
yeah,
pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, Darren, you had a great career at Illinois, a really solid pro career. You've done well in television, and you're still hanging out in Oakwood, I guess? Or,
yeah, I hang out in Newtown, north of Oakwood, near Kickapoo. I'll be out there if you want to come see me. I'll be in my shed just hanging out, watching baseball or goofing off.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in today. This was fun. I just thought Major League Baseball opening day, we ought to have a major leaguer in here.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. Thanks for having me come in, Brian.
All right, we appreciate it. Darren Fletcher with us here in this first hour. Second hour coming up. For the most part, we'll have an open line after we visit for a few minutes with the Prairie Dragon Paddlers. We'll explain what that is, breast cancer survivors, but they have an event coming up, and explain more about how you can become involved in that. And then an open line the rest of the hour in the second hour here this morning. Our thanks to Darren Fletcher for being with us. Appreciate the phone calls, emails, and texts. And at 10 o'clock here coming up at the Tone on WDWS, Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And we are back on Penny for Your Thoughts this morning. Had a great first hour with former Illini Darren Fletcher, former major leaguer, played in the big leagues, among other teams, but mostly in Canada with Toronto and Montreal. He had just been up in Montreal watching the Cardinals play, the Blue Jays there, and, of course, had a lifetime batting average, by the way. We had a look from Jeff. He says, great having the former Comet on today. What is Darren's lifetime batting average in the big leagues? .269 is a lifetime batting average. 124 home runs, 583 runs batted in, played for the Dodgers, Phillies, Expos and Blue Jays made the All-Star team in 1994. So I just thought it'd be fun to have somebody on who played in the big leagues on Major League opening day. 356-9397 is the phone number here on Penny for Your Thoughts. 217-351-5357 is the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, and you can email us, as always, talk@wdws.com. We'll have an open line coming up here in just a little bit, but we wanted to visit a few minutes the Prairie Dragon Paddlers, and there's an event coming up that's called Sing for the Health of It, coming up in a week on Thursday, April 5th at the City Center in Champaign. And here to talk about that and the Prairie Dragon Paddlers is Kelly Bradham. Kelly, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks
Good.
For having
Tell
me.
Tell us what are the Prairie Dragon Paddlers?
The Prairie Dragon Paddlers is Illinois' first breast cancer survivor dragon boat team. And even though we're the first in Illinois, this is a phenomenon that's been going on with breast cancer survivors for about 22 years now. So the idea behind it is that women who've had breast cancer, if they get their upper body and their bodies moving, it actually increases their chance that they will not have a reoccurrence of breast cancer.
Because the theory, I guess, before was that if you had breast cancer, you weren't supposed to use
That's
the upper
right.
part of your body?
That's right.
Yeah. And so this kind of grew out of that.
That grew out of that. And so there are about 150 teams all over the world right now. And this team is all breast cancer survivors, all local women. And our boat we bought used from the Indianapolis breast cancer team. And it's a pink boat, and she's 42 feet long. She has a drummer at the front and a steer person at the back, and 20 paddlers. It's an old, ancient Chinese sport. It's about 2,500 years old. And so we have a dragon head and tail, and our dragon head and tail is muscle car sparkly pink.
So when you have your boat, where do you practice? Where do you...
We practice at Homer Lake.
Okay.
We practice on Wednesday evenings and Saturday mornings, April through October, weather permitting.
Now, as part of this, this obviously is calling attention to breast cancer surviving.
That's right.
And you are a breast cancer survivor.
Give us a quick story on yourself. I was diagnosed in 2012, and when I came to understand that I was supposed to be limiting my upper body exercise, I really questioned it and did some digging and found out about breast cancer survivor dragon boating and wanted to bring that opportunity to local women here. And even though it's about physical exercise and staying healthy, we do much more than that. We educate people about breast cancer awareness. Our upcoming fundraiser, we will be giving half of our funds that we raise for this fundraiser to the Illinois Cancer Research Center here at the University of Illinois.
Kelly Bradham is with us. She's with the Prairie Dragon Paddlers, the dragon boat team. We'll tell you how you can reach out and find out more about them here near the end of our interview. But tell us about the event coming up. What Sing for the Health of It.
Sing for the Health of It.
What all's involved in here? Just tell me what's going on.
So in early February, we had auditions, and amazing singers came out and auditioned, and then we had two judges. Independent judges choose the top 20. And if you go on our website at prairiedragonpaddlers.org, you can hear a one-minute segment of the top 20 semifinalists. And people are voting. You vote $1 a vote. And the top 10 vote-getters will be the contestants on April 5th. And voting closes tonight at midnight.
Okay, so you're going to get your vote in. You need to go to that website.
Got to do it today. Yeah.
Give us that website again.
PrairieDragonPaddlers.org.
.org, and you can vote, and $1
a vote. You can vote $500 if you want to, but it's $1 a vote.
Can you vote more than once, or do you just...
You could vote more than once,
as many times as you want, huh? Well, this is going to be at the City Center, and what the winner of this contest is doing what? What do they win?
They win a trip to Nashville with a private tour of a recording studio and some other things that we're getting for them. Also... we have some guest singers.
Yes, tell us about that.
Yeah, so the mayors of Urbana and Champaign are going to be singing a duet, and they're going to be fabulous. We also have the director of the Cancer Center, Rohit Barhavara, and Lester Farner, who's a dermatologist at Christie Clinic and been really instrumental in helping us get going. Christie Clinic is our title sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think it's so important to call attention to people who have struggled with this. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of women in this. How big's your group right now?
We have about 35 members right now. Mm-hmm. Every single one is breast cancer survivor.
And you can look to grow it as, you know, anybody that wants to reach out. What should they do?
Absolutely. You can go to our website at prairiedragonpaddlers.org. You can also contact me at prairiedragonboat@gmail.com.
Yeah. Now, there's other events that the boat is involved with, right? I mean, there's a big event in Italy, I think, this summer.
So the International Breast Cancer Participatory Commission holds a race for breast cancer survivors only every 4 years. And this year, nine of us, this is not a team-sponsored event. We're all paying for ourselves. Mm-hmm. But nine of us are joining the Minneapolis team to make a full boat, and we will be racing in Florence, Italy on July 7th and 8th.
Mm. Well, it's just a great cause, and we'll look forward to that, a week from tonight,
a
7 to 10,
tonight. Mm-hmm.
At the City Center for the Sing for the Health of It. And you'll have live performances, a DJ, 50-50 raffles, a cash bar. People can purchase tickets.
Tickets from any paddler or online at prairiedragonpaddlers.org. Ticket prices for general admission is $40.
Mm-hmm. So people can just come.
They can
that
come.
Night.
They can buy them at the door too.
Mm-hmm. You can get balcony seating if you like, or you can get a table for eight. Just go to the website and check all that out. Anything else we need to add?
It's going to be a blast. We plan on having so much fun, and I think we have a great show lined up for you.
Yeah. So in the paper today, you'll see an ad for it.
Yes.
The date is correct. All the singing and everything's going to be next Thursday.
That's right. Next Thursday, April 5th, 7 to 10 p.m. at the City Center.
Kelly, thank you for coming in and telling us about this. Yeah, you got one more thing?
Do it for the women in your life. Mm-hmm. Do it for the women in your community. Come on down and have a great time with us.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's, if you're struggling with this, having other women around you, I mean, that means a lot, right?
It means a lot. We have a lot of stories for the women in our boat, and they're very touching and moving.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with all this.
Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like just a great cause, and also have some fun at the same time and get your strength back up and everything. So, all right, we are going to take a break. We'll have open line the rest of this hour, 10:18 here on DWS. What's on your mind on an open line up until 11? Tomorrow, by the way, second hour is our Flashback Friday. We've been having some fun with that in the first 2 months. We'll do that next. But it's tomorrow, but we'll do our open line next on Penny after this. Back on Penny for your thoughts. Brian Barnhart with you this morning as we are at 10:20. We'll have an open line in hour number one tomorrow and then our Flashback Friday in the second hour tomorrow. We had Kelly Bradham on from the Prairie Dragon Paddlers boat team and their event, Sing for the Health of It, coming up in a week, Thursday, April 5th, at the City Center in Champaign. We had Darren Fletcher on with us the first hour. Now we've got an open line here the rest of the show today. Let me tell you about the Beef House. It's a great idea if you're looking for a night out. Large menu to choose from, ranging from steaks to pork chops to seafood, chicken and pasta, as well as a wonderful list of vegetables to go with the main entree. Great salad bar if you're interested in lunch as opposed to dinner. They've got the lunch buffet in the middle of the day, of course, the best buffet you'll see. And, of course, during the course of the year, if you've been over there, you've seen some of these at the theater. You can go to beefhouserolls.com for information on ticket information and show times there at the Beef House Dinner Theater, which is right there adjacent to the Beef House, same property. Again, I-74, take it east towards Indiana, across the state line, go 4 miles inside the Hoosier State, take exit 4 for Covington, Indiana. Great meal, great time with family and friends. Short drive in the country, the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone lines. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or email us talk@wdws.com. Some of the headlines today, the president, Trump, pushes out Shulkin at VA, nominates Jackson as replacement. If any veterans out there, you want to comment on that change, how you feel about that, if you're close to that situation. Roseanne revival is a wake-up call for Hollywood. They had great ratings for the reboot of the Roseanne show. And another headline, the ridiculous snit over a census citizenship question. Ridiculous issue over a census citizenship question. Some of the headlines around today. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's start with Doug. Doug is with us. Good morning, Doug.
Yeah, good morning, Brian. Well, you brought it right up what I want to do as a VA. You know, we talked about it on the show, and Jim has helped us for years. The VA has been broken forever, and now we got another VA secretary fired. Got some suggestions a bunch of us veterans have put together, and I'll just read these off, what we'd recommend to how to fix the VA. Number one, we need to provide prompt, coordinated, and optimized medical care. Number two, the VA, Department of Defense, EPA officials must admit the correlation between the toxic exposures and adverse health effects and provide thorough documentation. They must provide continuing medical education to the doctors so they understand what's going on. Stop overt and hidden retaliation, which is a nonstop thing against anybody that speaks up, as we all know and talk about. Complete thorough environmental remediation to mitigate exposure. That includes right here at Chanute and right here in East Urbana, as we've discussed. Tell the truth about these wars related to the ethical and moral dimension. PTSD is a morality problem where you got a moral injury beyond imagination that can't get fixed with drugs. Provide coordinated crisis light intervention with a chaplain and medic, not with the police. Return all telephone calls or email requests for help before the end of each day. When a veteran's in a crisis and they can't, don't feel good, they can't get help, they call, and if they get a phone call back within a week, if at all, it's a miracle. And these are some suggestions. We've talked about this before. Jim has helped us promote it before, but unfortunately, nothing ever seems to get fixed.
Hmm. So you think the change at the top here, I know there was some issues with travel and some other things at the very top with Mr. Shulkin, but what do you know about the new gentleman?
Rear Admiral? I don't know anything about the new gentleman, you know, and again, it doesn't matter who's in there, because unless we have a massive cultural change where they start acknowledging and recognizing what's happening and providing care to us, it'd be crucial. I mean, as we talked about on the show, right now there are over 40,000 current complaints to the White House hotline requesting medical care from the VA that have not been resolved.
Hmm. So does it need to be privatized a little more?
Privatized won't work, because what had happened with the privatizing, you go to a doctor that has absolutely no knowledge of the military or the toxic exposure or anything, and I try to do that myself, both through Carl and Christy, and they have no clue what's going on, and the doctors there don't have time to learn and everything about, you know, military exposures and health effects of everything, as we've discussed on this show for years now.
Mm-hmm.
So that won't solve the problem. It's a massive cultural problem of denying what has happened to our soldiers because of the fact that we've gotten millions of casualties due to friendly fire and not due to enemy fire. Mm-hmm.
Well, Doug, I know you've done a lot of work on this. Keep up the work and keep us posted on what you learn.
Yeah, we're trying to. A lot of efforts going on, but again, it gets really frustrating because day after day we keep burying our friends and we keep getting sicker and we can't get care.
All right. Hey, Doug, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate your opinion. 356-9397. We're on an open line here up until 11 o'clock. We had Darren Fletcher with us in the first hour, and just had the Prairie Dragon Paddlers in support of breast cancer survivors on at the start of this show. And now we're just in an open line situation here the rest of this hour. Don joins us this morning. Hi, Don.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
When Stan calls about the Uranium One deal, he never talks about Douglas Campbell. He was the FBI informant that in his testimony admitted that they were funneling millions of dollars through lobbyists to give to the Clinton Foundation to influence Hillary Clinton. Now, that deal does have to go through like five different agencies to be approved. I don't believe one of them is Congress. But I don't think it's the deal that was illegal. It's the way the deal was done, the process in which it was done. It was done to influence Hillary Clinton, which was Secretary of State time. But let's go back to that time. He doesn't mention Vlad Kimmer. He was the guy, he was the top official for Putin ahead of the Russians' nuclear industry in the U.S. Now, he was found doing wrongdoings, even espionage, kickbacks, paybacks, all that. And he was actually sent to prison before the deal was done. These people knew that there was an FBI investigation going on at the time when the deal was done. But, you know, let's go back to that time. Who was in the FBI? It was Comey. Comey, he's already lied under oath how many times? We know he's a liar. Was it Snark? He was in there, too. Wasn't he the guy that made the dossier? I mean, just think about who these people are. I would like you to ask Stan about the meeting on the tarmac, or whatever they call it.
Loretta Lynch.
Yeah, they said they were talking about the grandkids. She doesn't even have grandkids. And ask him if he thinks the primaries were rigged against Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. All right.
I mean,
well,
you got to think about the time and the people we're talking about here.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thank you, Don.
Yeah, have a good one.
Yep, you too. Yeah, I think we're retreading a lot of the same ground there. So, but let's go to Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I wanted to somewhat back up what the last caller said, but not in the same kind of stuff. Lack of accountability from Washington on down to the state, local, and federal agencies are all corrupt. No self-accountability. But it also trickled down into the community. And my question to you is, my heart goes out to the family of the young man that was shot and killed in San Francisco. However, when are we going to get back to the basic disciplinary fundamentals that we were all brought up on? Nobody's talking about why he ran. Why did this young man run after the police asked him numerous times to stop? And he chose, and there's video to back it up, to run from the police. There was armed robbery going on in the area. If you have nothing to hide and you are not worried, why do these people run? And then when something like this happens as a result of their behavior, then we want to have riots and go up in the city hall and throw a big fit, when in fact it was the individual that should have made the right choice in the first place, and the law enforcement officers are doing the job that we all ask and depend on them to do.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say. I grew up in law enforcement, and we wonder why we have such a problem with our kids today. Hello, people. Be accountable for yourself before you convict someone else of wrongdoing. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Be accountable. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone lines as always. Got a note here. Brent Spillane's 8 home runs in the last 8 games are more than any other Big Ten player has hit in the entire season. So he's off to a great start for Illinois baseball. And we were talking to Darren off air about the Illini and how well they're playing. And they've got a big series with Iowa coming up in town here starting, what, tomorrow night. All right, we are at 10:31. We have news headlines here with Tim Dittman, and then we'll come back with more open line up until the top of the hour on Penny for Your Thoughts.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS. Glad you're with us today. We have an open line going up until the top of this hour. We talked baseball with Darren Fletcher on opening day. All of the teams scheduled to play today. 2 games already postponed because of weather until tomorrow, so they won't get exactly started on time as they hope, first time in 50 years. Also, a little note on Easter. I looked it up. This is the first Easter to be on April Fool's Day since 1945. So think about that. 10:34 here at DWS. Roseanne revival is a wake-up call for Hollywood. Don't know if you watched the Roseanne reboot, what you thought of it, first of all, if you've got some comments on that. Of course, that was a popular hit show several years ago, and now all of the characters are back. I guess the big news is that has gotten a lot of attention is that Roseanne, in the character in the show, is a supporter of Donald Trump. And so what America might have known about the new Roseanne show before tuning in, it was going to be the very rarest of birds at the cultural moment, a Hollywood product that wasn't going to use the president as a punchline or use a Trump supporter as a comic punching bag. And this columnist in New York saying that because more important, her appearance signaled that the new Roseanne was going to be true to the spirit of the old. The original show was properly hailed as a detailed depiction of the lives of the American working class. Fictional characters of the last 30 years were going to vote for Trump if those fictional characters were. It was going to be the Connors. Indeed, it was precisely people like Dan and Roseanne Connor whose votes for Trump made the difference in the Electoral College. That second episode, the ratings jumped even higher than they were before. So I don't know what you thought of all that, what you make of that, but that column today I found in the New York Post having to do with the reboot of the Roseanne show. And another columnist talking about this whole census citizenship question. As many as 20 states, Democratic states in the main, are working on a vast new legal campaign against the Trump administration. They say they want to stop the administration from launching in 2020 a census that would ask, among other things, whether one is a citizen. These states say it might scare off undocumented immigrants from answering the census. Washington Post described the administration's plan as fouling with the census. New York Times, in an editorial, said the White House is trifling with the census. And it goes on to just talk about, I'm just kind of gripping, looking through the article, see if there's anything else that jumps out at me. But anyway, that's the big debate back and forth that you've heard a little bit about in the news as well. In the local story, Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit officials, you heard Tim Dittman mention this in the news at the bottom of the hour, waiting to hear if they won federal funding from one of the grants they applied for to help cover some costs of the proposed expansion of the downtown Illinois Terminal building. The MTD managing director, Carl Gannett, said the district learned it didn't win money from the federal Tiger Grant, which was one of the two grants it applied for. But he says the district could still receive funding through the federal bus and bus facilities program. And MTD is seeking $24 million in federal grants for the $150 million expansion project there at the terminal building. And, of course, we just had Peter Fox on, who's heading up the Fox Development Group, which is developing or looking to develop a arena there by the State Farm Center on the other end of town. This one, of course, Hans Grosch Solution with the downtown expansion, all of this kind of tied in, or at least connected in a tangent way with all of that. Let's go back to the phones here on an open line at 1038. Good morning to Eric. Hi, Eric.
Morning, Brian. Just a real quick one. You just said undocumented immigrant.
I was reading the article.
This isn't a case. I don't know. This is a case of a clerical error, which is what that term is bandied about and connotated as by many people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a clerical error. It's a criminal act.
Yeah.
An illegal alien.
Illegal alien. Yeah.
Thank
it's. Yeah. No. You're. Yes. You're right about the terminology. Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Sir. Text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, excuse me. Pretty sad when supporting a Republican president is a story, and blue states don't want you to know how many illegals there are. And from Gordon, in regards to the citizenship question on the census, that question was on the census in 2000, and Obama removed it for the census of 2010. Nothing racist about the question at all. And from CJ, a text in, says, my brother was a patient at the Danville VA for years, a Vietnam-era vet. Every health issue was a battle and continued until his death in 2015 in memory of J.T. Kell. So that text in from CJ on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. We talked a little bit this morning on the open line portion of our show about the change at the head of the VA, David Shulkin, on Wednesday, ousted as the Veterans Affairs Secretary in response to heavy criticism. President Trump nominating his personal physician, Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson, to replace him in the latest turnover among Trump's team. White House officials speaking on condition of anonymity, I always like that, said Shulkin had become a distraction due to a constant wave of speculation about his future. Shulkin had drawn fire for a report from the Inspector General of the Department of Veterans Affairs that found that during a trip to London and Denmark, he improperly accepted tickets to the Wimbledon tennis tournament, and his chief of staff made false statements so Shulkin's wife could travel at government expense. One official said the criticism of Shulkin was making it harder for him to carry out his duties as a secretary of the VA. Jackson's a rear admiral of the U.S. Navy, had been working as presidential physician since the Bush administration, has been the lead doctor monitoring Trump's health since Trump became president. So we had some comments on that. If you have anything on that you would like to share, feel free to do that here this morning on our open line portion. 10:41 here at DWS. Tomorrow morning, an open line at 9, and then Flashback Friday. Do it on the last hour, the last Friday of the month of March. Flashback Friday tomorrow at 10. Hey, a call to action is in order. If you're interested in getting a free, no-obligation home evaluation, if you're thinking about moving, or even if you're not thinking about moving, someone can help you with that. It's the husband and wife team, Steve and Pam Starwald of the Starwald Group, Keller Williams. Contact them, 239-7156. They can help with that. Pam, by the way, has completed training and earned her certificate. Makes her a senior real estate specialist, assisting those who may be at a time in their lives they want to downsize. Steve and Pam Starwell can help you with out-of-state referrals. If you are thinking of moving and you say, well, I'm moving to Massachusetts, I have no clue who's out there. Well, they can help get referrals to agents in that state to meet your specific need and location. Both Steve and Pam grew up in Champaign-Urbana, graduated locally. They know the area very well from selling, buying, home inspection, appraisal, closings. They have a team that works with them. They have specific people they work with. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow. But the husband and wife team at Keller Williams, number is 239-7156, and that's the number. And if they're out with a client, maybe looking at another home or working with another client, that rolls over to Pam's cell phone. So you'll get immediate attention as they're available there. And you can Google Starwalt. If you can't remember anything I've told you, number or otherwise, Google Starwalt. Or Google Steve and Pam, or Pam and Steve, and you'll see their page come right up on the Google. So check it out. Again, 239-7156, Google Starwald, Google Steve and Pam, and let them help you. And again, with the call to action, spring is in the air. At least we think it is. It says it's spring. It hasn't felt like it, but it is damp out there. But certainly they can offer you a free, no-obligation home evaluation. Take advantage of that from Steve and Pam Starwald at the Starwald Group at Keller Williams. 10:43 here at News Talk 1400 DWS. Back to the phones here. Thomas jumps in with us here. Hey, Thomas, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment to the caller, Sarah, that had called in. I agree with her. You know, parenting is very important, you know, but accountability is a universal word. And, you know, I think when the government came in and stopped parents from being able to spank their kids, played a very important role to the current situation that we see with kids out of control all across the country. And, you know, I think that something has to be said and done also about some of the race soldiers that exist, you know, within the police ranks, certified by the FBI. You know, something has to be done. I don't know what exactly can be done, but obviously there's a problem, you know, in different parts of the country, and possibly this may play a role. So yeah. I just wanted to make that comment to Sarah and to the listening audience.
Yeah, well, and I've talked to Reverend Comer, who obviously is African American and a friend of mine, and he talks about, hey, you know, it's goes from generation. If there's a distrust of law enforcement or whatever is to blame, you know, if you grow up with that, then, you know, if a police officer stops you or whatever, maybe you were geared to think that way, and then you run, you know, and then something happens and you get, I mean, it kind of feeds on itself.
Yeah, it definitely does. And, you know, when you have moments like the Stephen Clark situation, it traumatizes a whole community. And those things that you talk about, you know, become more internalized, you know, within the community.
Yeah.
You know, something eventually has to be done. It's just going to be a continual cycle.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks, Thomas.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Willie tells me, you know, he tells the young man he works with, he says, hey, do what the police tell you to do. If they tell you to stop, put your hands up, do what they tell you. But he said, obviously, there's got to be some, you know, better communication. I know they've worked on it here in Champaign, and Chief Cobb has done a great job in that regard. And so it's kind of an ongoing process, I think. We're at 10:46 here at DWS. Back with more Penny for Your Thoughts here to the top of the hour here on a Thursday. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS. What's on your mind today? We are at 10:48 in the morning on this Thursday. We had Darren Fletcher on in the first hour. Appreciate that. Opening day for baseball. The White Sox are playing at Kansas City. The Cardinals are in New York playing the Mets here in a couple of hours, maybe less than that. And the Cubs are down in nice and warm Florida. Saw the Cubs play the Red Sox the other day. I was thinking about that. I was watching the game and spring training, and I'm like, what are the Cubs doing in Fort Myers playing the Red Sox? They're in different spring trainings. Well, then it made sense. The Cubs had flown from Arizona, Mesa, all the way to Florida, and then we're going to hop across the state to get ready to play Miami in the opening game coming up today. So all of the major league teams scheduled to be in action today. We talked to Darren about his career a little bit. Really enjoyed that. We had the Prairie Dragon Paddlers on in support of breast cancer there going on, their event coming up Thursday, April 5th at City Center 7 to 10. And now we're just visiting with you on an open line. I was looking at this article, what I was trying to get to earlier. There was an article written about this whole citizenship question. It says, the article here, which brings me back to the Constitution. It's true, it doesn't require the census to ask anyone about citizenship. The census, it commands, had to do with taxes and doling out seats in the House of Representatives. It was a count of citizens, not of citizens, but of persons. The Constitution's actual language says the representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union according to their respective numbers. Of course, the notorious three-fifths clause was in there, and then it was undone by the 14th Amendment. Stands today as a reminder it was not citizens but persons that the Constitution counts for apportionment. Neither, though, says the article here, does the Constitution prohibit the census from asking persons it's counting whether they are citizens. There are reasons in the Constitution and in law where we might want a citizen count. So that's some of the discussion there of the census citizenship question. Of course, we're coming up on that because we're coming up on 2020. And like anything else, it's been caught up pretty much in politics. 356-9397. You can join us, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 3515-357, and you can email us, talk@wdws.com. We are at 10:50. We'll take another break here. We'll come back with more of your phone calls, emails, and text after this timeout in just a moment. Eye of the Tiger, Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS, Flashback Friday tomorrow in the 10 o'clock hour. Got some great guests lined up we're working on for the month of April. We'll tell you about those as we get into the month of April. We have a text from Jim and Muhammad on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. It says the police are not out of control. Just comply to their instructions and you'll be fine. That is Jim from Muhammad. Birthdays today, Clyde Frazier. Remember Walt Clyde Frazier? He appears in a lot of commercials now. 73. Clyde the Glide. Well, that was Drexler. That's a different one. Clyde Frazier. L. McPherson is 54. Sam Walton, founder of Walmart, born on this day 100 years ago, 1918. He died April 5th, 1992, at the age of 74. And appropriately enough, on opening day, the earliest opening day in history here. Cy Young, baseball's winningest pitcher, 511 wins, born on this day in 1867. He died in 1955 at the age of 88. And this is the day in 1992. Democratic presidential frontrunner Bill Clinton admitted to experimenting with marijuana while attending Oxford University. And Bill Clinton said, "I didn't like it, didn't inhale, and never tried it again." Said all that on this day in 1992. Of course, now what? It's legal in a couple of states out there. Here, let's go to Dale on the phone line. Hi, Dale.
How you doing?
Good.
I just heard this morning Rusty Staub passed away.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Played for Montreal. Do you remember his nickname up there?
I should, but I don't.
The Grand Orange.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because of his red hair.
Yeah, his red hair, yeah.
Yeah.
And didn't he one time, was it Rusty Staub that, maybe I'm getting it mixed up with somebody else, that played for two teams in one day?
I think so. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. There's somebody that did that.
Yep.
Hmm.
Okay, that's all I got. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Dale.
Yep, bye.
Yeah, I was sorry to hear that. Rusty Staub, he was a solid player. Let's see what happened else on this date here in history. 1973, on this day, March 29th, 1973, 2 months after the signing of the Vietnam Peace Agreement, the last U.S. combat troops left Vietnam, ending 8 years of direct intervention in the Vietnam War. So that was this day in history, 1973. I don't know if you saw this report in the News Gazette Deb Pressey put together, but more than a third of Illinois' major roads are in poor or mediocre condition. That's racking up billions of dollars in extra costs every year for drivers, according to a new report. Along with congestion-related costs, Illinois drivers are footing the bills for extra expenses linked to accidents that occur on roads that could be safer, and for higher vehicle operating costs tied to potholes and other roadway deterioration. Road conditions play a critical role in the quality of life, and Deb goes on with several figures. Among the nuggets of local interest kind of caught my eye, 55% of major locally and state-maintained roads in the Champaign-Urbana urban area are in poor or mediocre shape. 10 bridges, 20 feet or longer in the broader Champaign-Urbana area, considered to be structurally deficient. And in terms of time lost, and we don't think about this a lot because we don't have a lot of congestion. I mean, we've got some at certain times coming out of certain areas of town. I mean, if you're trying to get out of the university at 4 to 5 o'clock, I mean, it's packed. But in terms of time lost, traffic congestion in the Champaign-Urbana area added 13 hours of delay per year for the average driver. So you can check that out. Deb Pressey has the article in the News Gazette with News Gazette Media here today. And let's see, some other baseball notes here on opening day. Just wanted to mention some things to watch for in case you had not heard or heard about some of the new faces in new places here as we start opening day. Yu Darvish, of course, is with the Cubs. Eric Hosmer is in San Diego. J.D. Martinez is now with the Red Sox. Jake Arrieta is with the Phillies. Wade Davis is in Colorado. Lance Lynn, of course, longtime with the Cardinals, is now in Minnesota. Carlos Santana is with the Phillies. And some new managers in baseball. Aaron Boone jumped out of the ESPN broadcast booth. He's now the skipper of the Yankees. You know, I'd forgotten about that. I knew Joe Girardi wasn't there anymore, but I was like, who replaced him? Well, it was a guy on TV, Aaron Boone. Jumped into the booth. Alex Cora left the Astros staff. He's the new Red Sox manager. And Dusty Baker's not in Washington anymore. Dave Martinez is the manager of the Washington Nationals. Didn't know if you'd heard about that. And speaking of the ESPN booth, Alex Rodriguez is heading there to replace Aaron Boone. And you'll notice every Major League Baseball stadium has extended its netting if you go to a game during the course of this year. Some fans might be upset. Maybe their vision's a little more obscured, but I think with all the foul balls that go careening into the stands that I think even more dangerous. And the balls are one thing, but the broken bats, when those things fly in there, I think that's even more dangerous. All right, 3569397. I've got a minute or so left here. Let me get to a couple of texts. The text, and I was wrong about Rusty Staub. It was Youngblood. Was it Jim Youngblood or Joel Youngblood? This texter says Jim, but it was a Youngblood. That's right, played for two teams in one day. Was traded, arrived, played for the team, a different team, later in the day. And also a text says from Jane, says, "Hi, Brian, I feel these kids protesting guns at the Parkland, Florida, should be working on stopping bullying, which was part of the reason for the shooting." Thanks to Jane on that. So that's on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. And again, any day we're on, you can send in texts, emails, phone calls. We take them all. And whatever topic you'd like to delve into on an open line, feel free to do that, which will be the case tomorrow morning at 9. And then at 10 o'clock, it'll be our Flashback Friday. We'll have a lot of fun with that. We've had two of those already. We'll do it again tomorrow in the second hour. Our thanks to Darren Fletcher for being our guest, former Illini, into the U of I's Class Hall of Fame, Class Number 2, coming up this summer. And good to visit with a big leaguer on opening day. I just thought that would be a nice fitting way to kick off the baseball season after a strange winter with all the snow we've had lately. Let's talk some baseball and get everybody warmed up. And then the Prairie Dragon Paddlers, check out that event a week from tonight at the City Center in Champaign. We are approaching 11 o'clock. My thanks to Ed Bond for his help on the show today. I'm Brian Barnhart. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Friday on WDWS Champaign-Urbana. It's 11 o'clock.